Praise the Lord for what He's doing in our lives. It's a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend, even though some of us got beat up a little bit. But I know we all had a good time, and praise the Lord for it yesterday. And I hope everybody got enough turkey. Everybody got enough turkey. If you didn't get enough turkey, it's probably your own fault. That's all right. I know I got enough turkey this morning when I stepped on the scales and it said, "Whoa, one at a time, please." It did probably speak some things there, but I tell you what, I enjoyed every bit of it. Had the in-laws in town, and some people pick on the in-laws, you know, and I know sometimes those jokes are funny, and they really are. But, you know, I appreciate in-laws, you know, I really do. So I was told one time, what do you do when you miss your in-laws? You reload. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's true. My dad used to say his favorite thing about in-laws was their taillights. I don't say that. I love my in-laws. And I appreciate them so much. I was glad. In fact, you might not believe this, but I ate the flesh. Dad came in, and boy, I tell you, he pretty much worked the whole time. He was just a real servant, and Mom as well, coming in for the few days they did, and just helped us out, encouraged us in the Lord. So thankful for them. And they actually left out Saturday morning, just to go show you their mentality. They left Saturday morning to go to Texas to help to be with Joanna's sister and her family for a few days to help them out and encourage them. And that's just the folks they are. Love and appreciate them, and praise God for them. If you want to turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis this morning, I feel like I have to say a little something about the turkey bowl too, because I feel like I need to humble myself. And we had a good time, and it was a good spirit. And but the boys, the single fellas, they won handedly. They beat us pretty good, and they were ready. And I'll give them credit. Give credit where credit is due, and they played well. And so thankful for them. And you know, with the older crowd, you know, some of us married guys there, we understood, we learned some things yesterday. We really did. We you know, we have some wisdom, and we already got some things in mind for the coming year. And one of those things is to get some of these younger guys married so they can be on our team next year. So fellas, be looking out for some matchmakers, okay? And we are thankful for the safety the Lord gave us. There was no serious injuries that we know of at this point. We do know that there was some little banging around. And how many of you men, if you're honest, you married men, some of you single guys too, but how many of you are sore this morning? How many of you? Okay. Yes. They make a leave for that, fellas. So don't hesitate to profit from that. But we did. We had a good time. It was a good spirit. Had a good crowd. Had some good cheerleaders over there. Appreciate them. And even Mrs. Stone, she was there. And I heard you had your binoculars from the warm car. Amen. That was a good idea. That was a great idea. And thank the Lord for that. I'm already looking forward to next year's, and we're going to try to be better prepared next year. We'll enjoy that, and thank God for it. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, and I'll begin reading in Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter 3. I'll begin reading in verse number 6. And we'll read verses 6 through 10. Getting a lot of feedback here, Brother Sam. I'm not sure. Do we just need to go to the pulpit mic? Because we can. All right. Let's do that, pulpit mic. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked.
And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Let's pray. Father, we do come before you with thanksgiving this morning, and we thank you for your word, the word of God. I want to thank you for the people of God. I want to thank you for the Spirit of God. I want to thank you for the Son of God. Lord God, we exalt you above all, and we ask that you would meet needs here this morning, Lord. In my heart and the heart of every person here, we're asking for a spiritual work, Lord. Please, God, help us. We are so desperate for you to intervene into each of our lives. And, oh God, we call out to you as being the only one that can truly fulfill every need we have. Oh God, we commit this to you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Well, I want to preach a message to you this morning entitled this, Man's Attempt to Justify Sin. Man's Attempt to Justify Sin. Boy, you don't have to look very far, recent days especially, of what's going on the news stations and what's going on in our own country and the area of Hollywood and the area of our politics. And it is what appears to be just a tremendous exposure of these sex scandals and sexual harassment accusations. And boy, they're just coming out of the woodwork now, and things are coming to the surface that you're thinking, really? Some you're not very surprised just because of the way they carry themselves and the things they do already, but then there are some even that you think to yourself, really? That person? And it's just so evident and so sad. The things that we are seeing that day, and a lot of it goes back, and the Lord prompted me to bring this message this morning, because yes, we see it in politics, these scandals, and yes, we see them in Hollywood and athletes and superstars and just really popular people in our society. But folks, you see it with the everyday common people as well. You see it with people in church. You see it throughout our society that there is a deception and a temptation, if you will, to try to justify sin in their life. Justify the reasons for it and whatnot. And I find here in this account in Genesis chapter 3 a very clear account of the first occasion of sin from the human race. And of course, it's one of the most familiar stories in the Word of God, but I believe there are some things here for us to learn. Because let's be honest here this morning, church. None of us, and I mean none of us, are above falling into sin. None of us are above going in to things that we never even dreamed we could do. And I believe that if we're honest, we can be helped. I believe that. Do you believe that, church? I believe if we're honest before the Lord, I believe we can be helped. And I was just impressed of the Lord to bring this, and God has helped me through this, and I hope it'll be a help to you, but how can we avoid trying to justify sin in our lives that is maybe there at the moment or that will possibly come? How do we avoid trying to justify it as being okay? Well, I believe we can learn something from our father and mother, the first two of the human race, Adam and Eve, here in the garden. I want us to see, first of all, some areas that I believe man fails here in this area and is tempted is because they think, and again, this is just, I'm going to speak to the human nature here, all right? That includes all of us. There is a temptation to feel like we have permission. Look there with me in verse number 4. The serpent, was more subtle than any beast of the field. He's coming to the garden. He's tempting Eve. He approaches her first, and we see here in verse number 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." So what I see here in a roundabout way. The serpent, the devil, when he has come to the garden to tempt Eve, I believe the saddest day in history here is going to take place. But we see here that he is basically in a roundabout way trying to give her permission. Trying to give her permission to go ahead, look now, Eve. Come on, let me talk to you for a minute. By the way, if you let the devil talk to you, he will talk all day long. He certainly will fill your ear with as much as he can, but she listened to him, and he told her, "You are not, listen to me, Eve. Ye shall not surely die." And so what I see here in the human nature is that a lot of times we justify things in our life, sin, as, well, looking at it as we have permission. I tell you another thing, the devil will give, he will give a confirmation to sinful thoughts and sinful actions, just like he did here. Listen, God's not going to really hold you accountable for that action. That's what we like to listen to, you know. And then not only does Satan, we see here, but I tell you, if you're looking for permission, you don't even really have to look any further than the flesh as well. I tell you right now, if your flesh is anything like mine, if it looks good, do it. If it feels good, do it. That's the flesh. It doesn't really matter what the Bible says or what anything to do with God says. If it feels good, do it. And I believe Eve was running into that, having permission from these elements. And then if you don't, you'll always have permission from Satan, and you'll always have permission from the flesh, and then, my dear friends, you'll have permission from the world too. One of the things that I've realized in these scandals that have come out, and by the way, I'm glad people are coming forward. I realize some of the accusations may not be legit, they may not be just, but many of them are coming to find out they are. And by the way, we should always applaud anybody that has the courage to come out and call out sin. Amen? Hey, listen, let me ask you something, fathers. Would you not be thankful if your daughter was abused by some pervert if she came forward and called him out on it? Hey, I'm going to be thankful if my children got under the influence of some pedophile and some pervert who started going towards them and doing things they shouldn't or saying things they shouldn't. Hey, I'm telling you what, I'm trying to train my children at a young age that if they are ever approached and certain things are said or if they're touched in certain areas, hey, to scream and run. Scream and run. Call them out. No matter what the case may be. And we see here that one of the things that has stood out to me about these things, and yes, those things are wrong, but at the same time, a lot of these people who are really have been accused are also at the same time participating in movies and different scenarios that promote that type of sin. Hey, listen, you can't categorize sexual sin. I'm here to tell you. Sexual sin is sexual sin. And it may have a different look, but it's in the same category. And when you promote those type of things and glorify those type of things, listen, you can't expect too many different results. It's just going to be a fact of the matter. And so we see that if we're not careful in these things, that we'll come to justify it because we feel like we got permission because of our flesh, because of the temptations of Satan. The devil made me do it, or the world does it. And that's teenagers. I tell you what, that's where I can really see you stand strong, especially. And I'm so thankful for the stands I'm seeing in our church. And I pray for each of our teenagers that you'll continue it. That you will take a stand and say, you know what? It does look like the world is doing that. And it does appear that the world has given us permission to do these things. But you know what? God says it's not right. And that, my dear friends, will set you apart. And you will see the power of God manifested in your life. So you see here, number one, if we're not careful, we'll give ourselves permission. But then, not only will one be tempted to say, I have permission, as Eve would look like here and take Satan's word for it, saying, look, you're going to be okay. Just do this and you'll be okay. But not only that, we have the tendency to say, I have power. I have power. Not only do I have permission, but I have power. And we see that in verse 5. Satan is definitely tempting her with that when he says in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And what does the text say, church? And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What do I see there? I see the human tendency to be drawn to having power. The power there is demonstrated in several ways. I would say, one, it is demonstrated in invincibility. The human flesh at times is tempted to think that they're invincible. You know, things that are coming out today. What was going on in their minds? Well, I'll tell you one thing that was going on in their minds. I'll never get caught. They'll never catch me. They'll never catch me. I'm doing this right. I'm being slick enough. I got them fooled. I'm telling you what, that is a temptation here. And Satan was tempted Eve with this thing of power that, look, you're just going to be like God. You're going to be like the gods. And listen, can I say something to you? There are no superstars with God. The Bible says He's no respecter of persons. And it doesn't matter how much money you got in your bank account. It doesn't matter your background, who your mom and dad are. It does not matter about any of those things. God is no respecter of persons. And I tell you what, He will call anybody out. And He eventually will call everybody out. And we see here there's the tendency of feeling invincible, like you'll never get caught. But then there's the tendency in verse 6, we say, because of this power, you have the power of indulgence. Well, man, not only am I going to be able to get away with this and be as the gods, where I will be untouchable, but then look at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree, and it says, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took it, and she ate it. And we see here there's the power of indulgence. You know, it's one of those things, again, like I mentioned, hey, this looks good. Boy, this feels good. It must be right. Man, if I can take of this and I can be, my eyes be opened, and man, I can be smart and wise, and man, I'll feel good about it. Hey, it must be right. And then there's that power there to feel that way. And I feel like that's what we have seen in recent days. And by the way, like I've mentioned, sin knows no parameters. You ever realize that? You know, and this is, it's kind of interesting the way some of these scandals have come out. It's very interesting the way we're seeing some of our conservative circles respond. Almost as if some of these conservative people, that things are coming out upon them, almost like, well, I thought that was only liberals. Well, I thought that could only happen to the Democrats. Listen, sin knows no barriers. Sin knows no parameters. Doesn't matter what political circle you're in. Boy, I'll tell you, it will take advantage of anybody. It will prey on anybody that it can, those that will give into it. And we see very clearly across. Now, again, some of these accusations, I'm not here to discuss whether they're true or not. The truth will come out. If not here on this side, on the other side it will, the judgment seat of Christ. It will come out, but I think of those that just think they got popularity, they got big money, and man, they just feel like, boy, look at me. I could take advantage of anybody I want to, of any situation I want to, and now a lot of that is backfiring. And I think about the very fact that the verse in the Word of God says that, be sure, your sin will find you out. It will come. It will be exposed. And we see here the temptation is, I have power. But then here's another temptation. Not only do we feel like sometimes we have permission because our flesh says it's okay, or the devil tempts us, and not only do we feel like we have the power because of our desire for indulgence and the temptation to feel invincible. No man can touch me. But we also are tempted because we feel like we have privacy. Feel like we have privacy. I don't know what was going through Eve's mind here exactly when it came to the presence of God, because we know that God is everywhere all the time. But it also appears through the Word of God that He comes in the cool of the day in verse 8. So there was a time where there was a communion, and evidently in her mind, God's Spirit was not right there being manifested at the time. And there was the temptation to say, well, hey, I don't have God right here beside me. This is my private time, I guess. And maybe we can go ahead and go through with this. Hey, listen, can I say there's nothing wrong with privacy? All right? I have one as a parent, appreciate having privacy. I now am thinking about putting 4 deadbolt locks on my bedroom door. You can appreciate privacy. You can appreciate it on your phone. You have privacy settings on your phone. For social media outlets, there is privacy. There's the privacy of your home. You know, when you're out in public, there's just something about being in the privacy of your home. And you have land where there's private land, keep out. Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with having some privacy. It's a good thing to have that, and it does exist. But can I say this at the same time? There's no such thing as having privacy with God. And what I mean by that, there's no such thing as having privacy and allowing God to have not have a place in your life. That doesn't exist. We can have privacy parameters for men. And there should be some there, but I tell you something we can't have is privacy parameters with Almighty God. He sees everything. We know in Psalm 139, we were there not long ago. Listen to what the psalmist says. O Lord, Thou searchest me and know me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted, get this, with all my ways. And boy, I believe that somehow barriers give the idea, or privacy in our human minds kind of give us the green light or the ticket to keep sin in our lives. And I believe that's what might have happened here. Perhaps the power and presence of God was not there, but they went ahead anyway. You know, I also read there in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. The Word of God says about the Lord seeing all in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. Let me read that to you. Proverbs 15, 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And you say, how can God do that? How can God look at evil? Because God is perfect. God is holy. God cannot sin. Listen, we can't behold evil things without having sinful faults. It will produce that eventually in our minds. But God beholds it all. Does it grieve him? Yes, of course it does. But it does not tempt him in any way. But he beholds it all. He sees what's going on. He sees the big picture. And there is no private areas in our life that God cannot see. In my life, and the one thing that would help us all to understanding is that our life is always public before God. It is a public place for God Almighty to have access at any time. And it's something about privacy that is a temptation to consider. You know, some of these guys that we're hearing about and some of these situations recently, when they're on the news channel, man, everything seems glamorous, doesn't it? They're smiling. They're making the big ratings. They're making the big money. They're getting the big votes. I've seen, heard of preachers. They got the biggest churches. They got the biggest amen corners. They got the biggest followings. They got the biggest following on Twitter. I call it Twitter. But they got all these different things, and I'm telling you what, they think that they can get above to the point to where they can get away with what they want to. And what the Bible says about that very clearly is we know better. We see the temptation is I have permission. The temptation I have power. I have privacy. But then get this one. Are we not tempted in this one? Is I have problems. Well, join the club. Do we not all have problems? Amen. We got all kinds of problems in our life. That's life. It does come. Problems come. Problems go. They're there. And God is helping us with them to deal with them as long as we do it His way. But listen, that is something that we see here. What happened in the garden is they got caught, they got exposed, and sin was passed upon all mankind. And when God came to the garden, look what He says. He came, and in verse 8, and when they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. In verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And what does Adam do? Listen to what he says. He says, I was afraid, and I hid myself. And it goes through and God starts asking him some questions. Who told you were naked? And he says here in verse 12, and this is where he states his problem. Did he say, Lord, I'm the problem. I messed up. Lord, please forgive me. No. Verse 12. The woman. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Do you see the picture here? Oh my. Is that not us, men? Y'all can do this. That means you're honest. You husbands out there. But listen, let me tell you something. That's what happened. He said, Lord, okay, we got a problem here. I understand. You realize it now. We realize it. And let me just go ahead and tell you what it is. It's Eve. That's the problem. And you know what we'll do? We'll do that same thing as humans. When there's sin in our lives and sin that is consuming us, and we're going to start blaming things. Lord, it was the spouse you gave me. It was the children you gave me. It was this work you gave me. Lord God, it was this health you gave me. It was this past, the history you gave me. And we start pointing. And a lot of times, these scandals and these things that go off in our churches and go off in our world, boy, they start getting out of hand and you go back to it. And when they won't take ownership, they say, well, listen, I had some problems in my life. This happened or that happened. And they start saying, I have problems, instead of just admitting what they've done is wrong and saying, I've sinned. Would you forgive me? And we know, and I'll mention that here in a second, that's what God will do. But we see here there is a problem, and he's talking about his, and then it goes on to the woman. And of course, she's going to follow suit right there with Adam, and God's going to confront her and say, and said unto the woman, "Now, what is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." So then she points the fault to the serpent. It's such a natural tendency. I can't remember what it was the other day that we were at, but I caught the kids up doing something that they were not supposed to be doing. It might have been something that something they were putting together, a building or something, or just a huge mess. I don't care. I don't know what it was exactly. It's an everyday occurrence, okay? It's hard for me to keep up with it all. But honestly, it was something that I know had to be either Marianne or Thomas Brent because of what was involved. Well, when I approached them about it and came upstairs and I asked the question, you know the question, you got two siblings that are there, the two oldest ones. Now, Caroline's nowhere to be found. I said, "Who did this?" Thomas pipes up the quickest. "Caroline did it." "Now, Thomas, you know Caroline can't do this. She's not able. She's too young to do this." And then, of course, Marianne pipes up and said, "Thomas, be honest, you did it." At those times, it is the hardest not to laugh. But I said, "Thomas, go to your room." But that was the tendency to blame, to shift the blame to someone else or to something else. And that's exactly what we are tempted to do. I have a problem, and it's the people I'm dealing with. It's these personal struggles are the reason. "Lord, why do I sin against you?" "Well, because I'm just having a bad day. I'm having a bad day. Somebody's been mean to me. Something happened to me. Lord, I got all these problems. And that's really why I'm sinning in my life." And we know that does not fly with the Lord. We can't just make excuses. And that's what they tried to do. And they were embarrassed. And this is where we get to the end of our message. And I hope this will be a help to you, this last point, these last few points. We see here that they were embarrassed, and they should have been. It says they tried to cover it up there as we read there in verse number 7. It says they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. All right? So there, when they were caught, and because of their shame, the first instinct is to take matters in their own hands and try to cover it up. And you know what? We'll try to do it too. We'll try to cover up something in our life, and we'll try to do it our way. And I don't have time to go through the life of David and his instance of his fall. He tried to cover it up, and it just snowballed. By the way, can we just keep this as a life principle, church? Anytime we try to cover up sin our way, it's always going to snowball. And it's going to turn into something way bigger than we ever anticipated it being. And we see here that they're going to take matters in their own hands. They're embarrassed, and they try to cover themselves up because they realize that they are naked before God, and they're going to cover up their shame. And so they use these aprons. And then, you know, that's a picture of man's futile attempt to cover up his shame. You know, I just, again, back to the recent day illustration, somebody that I had respect for as a conservative news host. I don't know whether he's born again or not. I know he has a Catholic background, but Bill O'Reilly, who lost his job due to some accusations, and some of them most definitely were true, because there is one case where he paid out $32 million to get this woman to keep her mouth shut and to save his face. And he dropped $32 million and it did no good because we know where he is now. He's without a job with Fox News and different areas. But you know what that was? That was a picture of what the tendency of the human nature is to do with sin is to cover it up. What can I do? What measures can I take to get this thing covered up to where I can save myself some face here? And there was embarrassment there. And there was a big problem there. So what happened? So what needs to happen? What did happen? I want you to notice with me the difference of verse number 7 that we just read. And go over to verse number 21. Same chapter. This is where we're going to get our help this morning. The facts have been given. It's true. We know it. But how do we combat this? Verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. God clothed them. And what they tried to do with fig leaves, God did with the skins of animals. And in order to get the skins of animals, hey, the blood had to be shed. And the Word of God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no forgiveness. There is no purifying outside of the shed blood of what we know is this is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, as the songwriter would say, Calvary covers it all. Oh, praise God for the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ that is so much typified here in the Word of God. By the blood being shed from these animals, and God clothed them. That's the only way they found freedom from the bondage that they found themselves in. You know, I want you to grab a hold of this, please. When it comes to sin in our lives as believers, the best thing we can do with that sin is to, number one, know for sure that it is just to admit it, to be honest with it, and confess it to Almighty God. All right? Now let me say this without causing confusion. There are some sins. Sin is sin to Almighty God, but there are some sins that we would perhaps only confess to God. You say, where are you going with this? Well, let's use, for instance, Daniel here. If I come to Daniel and Daniel said something that I didn't like, or whatever the case may be, I know you would never do anything like that, Daniel. But if I were to do that, and then I had a thought towards Daniel, that was an evil thought. Let me say it. I don't believe God expects me to go and confess that to Daniel because it was in my mind, it was a private thing, but God does expect me to confess that to him and get it right. Now that changes the story. Changes if I have an angry thought at Daniel and then I externalize that thought and show my anger through some verbal words, just as a verbal abuse. Or doing something to him as an action, and then that becomes a sin not only against God, but against him. And then, yes, I am to approach him and to confess that. And I believe that the point of the matter is, I believe when sin happens in our mind, a lot of times what that results in is externalizing, and that's where sin will be confessed not only to God Himself, but to man as well, whoever has been offended. And it's so important to understand that God will bless that type of humility. When there are things basically the sin in our heart, when we have externalized it by something we've seen, by the click of a button, by the words of our mouth, by the actions of our life, something we've done that's going to in some way affect man, it is to be confessed, not only to God alone, but it is to be confessed as sin to man. To whoever you may have offended, and by way of doing that, and I want to tell you, that right there is what God expects us to do. It just breaks my heart, the stories I hear of even born-again believers. It breaks my heart and reminds me, church, of the vulnerability of the human race, even for Christians. A church, a pastor of a church like this, in Jacksonville, Florida, had one of the largest churches. One of the largest churches in Florida. I mean, when you heard him preach, I heard him preach as a young Christian. I'd only been saved probably a couple years, and I remember hearing him on BBN, on conference pulpit, waxing eloquent, preaching the Word of God. My heart was stirred, and then years went by, I found out that this pastor was a pedophile. This pastor had been molesting children. And had been going on forever, and he tried to run from it. He tried to go to Germany as a missionary, but he brought back and he ended up dying in jail. Oh, that's so sad, but how does that happen? Because man gets into a trap and he feels like he can't get out, and he attempts to justify what he's done. But listen, you've got to handle it the way God tells us to handle it, and that is through the blood. Through the blood. Can I say this? Confession, get this, confession of sin. I don't care how bad it's been. I don't care how much trouble it's going to cause you or you think it's going to cause you. Get this. Confession of sin exalts God and His grace. It exalts His mercy. When we come voluntarily, not just a jailhouse repentance, but even before there's anybody caught doing anything, you come to God and say, God, I confess it to you, and whoever you've offended or whoever you've deceived, that's when you tell it to them and say, listen, what I've done is wrong. I've asked God to forgive me. And I'm asking God to move forward, and I'm asking you to forgive me. You know, it exalts grace. But listen, au contraire. You flip that around, you decide to withhold or withdraw from confessing sin. You keep it to yourself. You know what it exalts? It exalts the sin. It exalts self. It lifts that up. Because I'm sorry for these sad stories, but I just believe we need to hear the reality of what these kind of messes get into place. I know of another famous preacher, another one that I had respect for, another one that I heard preach. Oh my! One that I would have easily gone to in Bible college and had him sign my Bible because his messages have affected my life. And then got word one day as we were on deputation, this preacher took his life. Took his life. He got a hotel room and had some method where he got carbon monoxide in there, and he just took his own life. And I don't know all the details with that, and I'm not interested to find all the details, but it did come out that he was ashamed of some things that he had been doing. And he was too embarrassed, it appears, to just come forward and say, I was wrong. And I know his daughter, and I know his son-in-law, and I know his wife, and they were just heartbroken. And they were just thinking to themselves, Dad, we would have forgiven you. Dad, we loved you. We would much rather have you here on earth. And this dear wife, honey, I would have forgiven you. I'd much rather have you here on earth with us. But yet, he convinced himself that if he'd covered it up his own way, went the method of fig leaves and just gone about covering it up, ended up cutting his life short to where he could have
and should have said, God, I'm sorry. I've sinned. And I know You'll forgive me. And I'm going to be honest with everybody else that I have fooled. And I'm going to be open. And I trust that they'll forgive me. And by the way, if you're a Spirit-filled, true Christian, you will forgive those that have offended you. You will seek to restore them. As Paul told the church of Corinth, that there was a brother that was in fornication. He was in sexual sin. And he told them very clearly, you better not leave him on the side of the road. You better embrace him and restore that love to him and encourage that believer. And by the way, we are just as much in sin if we're ever a church that starts casting stones at those that have made wrong decisions, sinful decisions. No, that is not the duty of the church. There is the duty of the church to hold people accountable, but it is the duty of the church to come alongside and to restore and to encourage and to come alongside and realize that none of us are above this. None are above falling. I know, dear friends, that this was a heavy message. And these aren't the ones I really like preaching, to be honest with you. But I felt like, as your pastor, I felt impressed of God's Spirit to bring a message that we as God's people need to realize that it's just not this crowd out here in the media. It can be right here in the church if we're not careful. To be honest, to realize that confession of sin, it exalts God in His grace, because it says that's where the covering will come from. It will come from the Lord. But hiding our sin from others and from God, we think, it exalts the sin itself. And we need to make a decision. No matter how much embarrassment it may cause, we need to be honest, folks, and let the Lord have His way. You know, now that we've moved in this new neighborhood, there are some certain limitations we have on what we can and can't do because of the property. Where we rented, it was sort of a farm, and I thank God for that. We had plenty of room, and our dog, Gracie, really enjoyed the farm life. She'd be able to get out and run freely, and boy, she loved that. But now that we've moved into the neighborhood we're in now, she's not able to just run freely as possible. So what we've done, we've put a cable up from in a nice area, nice big area from a tree to tree where she can run back and forth and have exercise. Of course, I try to get her out at least a couple times a day and exercise with her, throw the ball for her. But I tell you what, she, during the day, the majority of the day, she is bound by that cord on that cable. And boy, I tell you, there are times I step out of that door, I can see old Gracie, man, she's wanting to come out, and then I like going and just pulling her right off, and boy, she takes off. Man, she's happy, man. She looks like, last couple times I've done it, she looks like a Bronco. She's just going up and down, and she's excited. And you know what that reminds me of? You see, she's bound by that cable there on that cord. And do you know that's what the Bible illustrates as those that refuse to confess their sin as sin? It says they're bound by the cords of sin in Proverbs. They're bound to it. But you know what? I believe that if we will confess it and deal with sin the way God expects us to through the blood of Jesus Christ, and as we confess those that we have offended, that we have done that, it's affected them, and we see that what the power it does, I believe it would be just like me taking Gracie off that chain and letting her go. There's so much liberty, and there's so much freedom from not being bound by this sin that perhaps I've been seeking to cover and to keep from God and from others. Listen, let's do this. Let's let God know that we're not going to hide anything from Him or attempt to hide anything from Him. And we're not going to attempt to hide anything from each other
that needs to be said. Because listen, there is no shame in doing things by this book. And going by the way of the cross, there's no shame in coming to the Lord on His terms. Yes, there's consequences, but I believe, boy, God gets the glory when He moves in and forgives and brings restoration. God gets that glory. Let's pray.